Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Suffice to say, we've got a lot to talk about today. Inside the playbook, I'm John Rook. Glad you're with us here on Patriots Playbook and Patriots.com Radio. It is Nitpick Tuesday. There are a lot of nits to pick. We'll get at that. I want you to go ahead and light up the phones now. The Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Fire off your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook page is up and running. The name is John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Submit the friend request. If you haven't done so, you can post, you can chat, you can message through the Facebook page that we meet and greet on during every Playbook program. And you can also follow me on Twitter at jrook, J-R-O-O-K-E 0722 is the Twitter page address. Now, the latest news, of course, as several emailers have pointed out, and Ian Rappaport from the Boston Herald reported just a matter of 15 minutes ago, that Albert Haynesworth has been released or will be released by the Patriots. If you have some comments on that, now's a good time to jump in. I would tell you that at least my initial reaction is I think what this does, there was an alleged, and I'm sure many of you are already aware of this, and we're hoping that we would talk a little about this today. I did not see it, okay? Because I'm focused on the ball and I'm focused on the game. And so obviously, I guess some may have seen it on the sidelines, an exchange between Haynesworth and Coach Pepper Johnson. I know that the EEI guys talked about it yesterday with Coach Bill, and true to form, he doesn't tell you anything. Okay? Honestly, I don't even know why those Monday visits happen, except I think the proceeds of his visit go to charity, honestly. Because he doesn't tell you anything, we don't get anything, and the only thing we get out of it is pure frustration. And when things are going poorly, as they are going right now, consider for just a second, this team's lost two in a row and things are going poorly. There are a lot of people and a lot of teams that would like to be in the same situation as the Patriots. But the fact is, he's just not going to be forthcoming. He never has been, he never will be. But there was an alleged instance where there was some heated words exchanged on the sidelines. I think it probably had something to do with the fact that we didn't see. Albert was in there for a pretty good first half. I thought he played very well. Drew a holding penalty again, was certainly a huge part in an improved Patriot defensive effort for the first, three and a half quarters at least, I thought. You can't lay this loss on the defense's hands this week. Nope, can't do it. I did last week, not going to do it this week. I think they improved sufficiently to where the Patriots should have won that football game, if we're just talking about wins and losses. But when Haynesworth doesn't play in the second half, all right, one of two things happen. Either A, he's fallen out of disfavor, or B, he's hurt. And Bill said, well, we had five guys in the rotation there, and that's what we decided to go with. Well, read between the lines again. How many times have I told you on this show and anywhere else that you've either listened to me or you read me, how many times have I told you, you have to learn to read or listen between the lines? He's avoiding the question. He doesn't answer the question. He doesn't respond to the question that is asked. He did that all day long yesterday. I don't even know why we line up for his news conferences anymore. I'm sure he would probably just as soon not do them either. But the NFL mandates that they happen. But to me, it's a chore because he's not going to answer the questions that need to be asked. And the questions get asked. Some of them do. Sometimes they don't because everybody has been bullied by Bill Belichick long enough. There's a certain condescending nature to the relationship if you cover this football team on a day in and day out basis. That if you don't kowtow to it, then you don't get anything. It's just the way it has been. That's what happens when you have someone who rules with an iron fist. Now, I'm not saying it's the wrong way. I'm just saying that's the way it is here. And so that's why you get nothing when you're asking questions that people, certainly, I think season ticket holders, fans, you have a right to know this. You pay your money to come see this team. You help support this team, you know, through your expenses. You're buying, you know, gear. You're buying tickets. You're paying, you know, $7 for a beer, whatever. You're contributing. And so I think as fans, and especially as members of the media, as the voices of fans a lot of times, we have questions that we need to ask, and they don't get answered. They don't even get directly responded to. So you have to learn here. You got to go between the lines. Fact is, yesterday he responded. He said, well, we had five guys that we were comfortable with in that rotation, and I'm paraphrasing. Read into that. Albert was not a part of that for a very good reason. Clearly, now we've learned, not even 24 hours later, that if Ian Rappaport's report is true, and we have every reason to believe it, it certainly could be, and I'm sure we'll get some confirmation on it, you know, perhaps before this show is over, that something happened on the sideline. Maybe he told Pepper to go blank himself. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know. So if that's the case, the Albert Haynesworth experiment is over. You'd have to judge it a failure. I think that there are probably many of you today who are ready to, you know, judge Chad Ochocinco a failure. I can't say that I can argue that point at all. There are many of you who are like, well, we couldn't do any worse than ask Randy Moss to come back. And I know that there's a solid faction of fans that are thinking, well, you know what, maybe that's not such a bad idea. I got to admit, I wasn't sure that I really wanted to go there today. But I'm willing to go there now. This team has no ability, zero ability to stretch the field. None. And even if you run Moss in there as a friggin' decoy, that's better than what you're getting now. I mean, we heard last week from the coaches about how they wanted to get Taylor Price involved. And Taylor Price is a no-show last week. He didn't even get activated. He's got a hammy pull? Why are they talking about him like that? Usually you don't talk about players if they're injured. But there was all this talk about Taylor Price last week, and then he's an inactive? What's going on? What's going on? Besides, even if you had Taylor Price as this quote-unquote secret weapon to go out there and stretch a field with, okay, you got to understand, he's only a second-year pro. You're going to put him up against some of the best, you know, corners and safeties in the league, especially when you know that Tom Brady as a quarterback who admittedly, and I'm going to say this, he is struggling in my best Joe Namath. He is struggling. Tom needs to have complete and utmost faith in his receivers to go to the ball before he even throws it their direction. I think he's been told to throw it to Chad a couple of times. Nope, not happening. You think he's going to throw it to Taylor Price? You think that's going to solve everything? No. Does Tom still have, I guess, a relative amount of faith in Randy? Probably. I believe before the season started, he talked to, I got this second-handed, but I think that there's been some discussion about be ready. Would love to see you back. I think it's time to start thinking about it. I think it's time to bring Randy Moss, to bring him back if you're interested in winning football games. Now, I don't know if that's the case. It may very well be that general manager Belichick says, I'm not bringing him back. I'm not going to bring him back until hell freezes over. I don't know if anybody noticed. It's getting cold outside. It's getting cold outside. And the football team still doesn't have any ability to stretch the field. Teams are packing it in, folks, okay? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what's going on, what teams are doing. The Steelers did it. The Giants did it. The Jets are going to do it this week. There's going to be 8 or 9 in the box, and by the box I mean within 5 to 8 yards of the line of scrimmage, okay? They're going to rush the passer. They don't need to blitz, because they feel like they can beat the Patriots' offensive line as it is. If they blitz, it'll be a timing thing. It'll be more to disrupt timing issues. It'll be more to just disrupt patterns to get you out of a rhythm. I don't think the Jets feel like they're going to have to do that. The Giants didn't. The Steelers didn't. The Cowboys didn't have to. This is all going to be predicated on man-on-man. They've got it clogged up. That's why you're not seeing any open running lanes. And that's why you're seeing Wes Welker get beat all to hell. Aaron Hernandez this week was beat all to hell. Rob Gronkowski, he's a tough guy, beat all to hell. He ended up making some great catches. He had 8 grabs. So you got to give Gronk a lot of credit. I thought he was an unsung hero in Sunday's debacle. So was Welker. But those two guys can't do it alone. There's got, because teams are going to continue to put 8 and 9 in the box, and they're going to say, all right, go ahead, Wes, come over the middle. You're not going to he won't last until this time next month. You know, Wes already had his neck almost torn off against Pittsburgh by Troy Polamalu. We saw him go down in a heap this week against the Giants. It turns out, and we thought it was a shoulder injury, because the way he went down on his right shoulder, it looked like, oh my God, his shoulder must have, you know, collapsed or something in that heat. But no, it just turns out it was he was winded. He got the wind knocked out of him from the force of the blow. How many more times does this have to happen before Wes Welker finally doesn't get up? He's taking a huge pounding. Watch him. He gets hit on every snap of the ball. Not just hit, pounded. Unless there's some way to straighten out and lengthen and spread out a defense. Okay, that's my number one nitpick. This team has no vertical ability. No vertical ability at all. No ability to stretch anything out. So that's why today I'm going to come in here and tell you that, you know what? All things being equal, if we didn't have a history, yeah, I think Randy Moss might actually work. Because at least he would make the defense respect him. Even if you didn't even throw to him, he would make the defense respect him. And I guarantee you, you're going to find a lane or two that even Bill O'Brien can figure out and game plan to. See, I also have to nitpick with Coach O'Brien, because, you know, this is now two, almost 3 weeks in a row where the teams have all had the same game plan against the Patriots. You're lucky to be 1-2. You might go 1-3 after this week. I don't see any adjustments from the Patriots. What adjustments have you seen? Have you seen any? You're a better football mind than me if you've seen them. Please call me and tell me. What have you seen? I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being serious. What have you seen? Because I haven't seen it. Please explain it to me. These guys are going about their game plan, which is all fine and good, but you've gotten to a point now where you now have to adjust. I don't see any adjustment. I lay that at the hands of the play callers. And then when you don't have the adjustment, coupled with the fact that Tom Brady is not as accurate, he's making poor decisions as well as throws, what are you going to get? Losses. Losses. All right, so there's a couple of nitpicks for you to chew on. I would also tell you that I would entertain your thoughts on the whole Penn State fiasco and the scandal. And yes, this is a scandal with a capital S, because it's a football story, and it touches all of our lives. It doesn't have anything directly relatable to New England and the Patriots, but then again, it does. It has to do with, you know, locker room behavior. It has to do with the old buddy system, a system of loyalty that sometimes just really doesn't exist. It has to do with networking. It has to do with ultimate control, which Joe Paterno obviously has, or at least had at one time at Penn State, and we have here in New England. Now, this is, of course, a professional franchise as opposed to a collegiate institution of higher learning. But I think there are some similarities and some lessons that can be shared, not the least of which is the fact that we're all members and we're all denizens of planet Earth. We're all human. At least some of us are. And I don't quite understand the story of how a graduate assistant coach can watch some alleged act happen in the shower and not do anything about it. I suppose you got to walk a mile in someone's shoes before you can really know what you do. But clearly it was, you know, it's somebody who was young at the time, who didn't have children, who didn't really have a relatable, I guess, experience to go to. Now, if that were a parent watching a child being assaulted in a shower, you know what? Okay. I'm willing to do my piece of time if I have to do that for going in there and killing somebody. That's how strongly I feel about it. I'm a parent. I have two boys. I do feel very strongly about that. Matt Millen did as much earlier today when he was on ESPN and broke down and cried talking about it. You know, because he's a Penn State player. He's an alum. He coached Sandusky, was his coach, his mentor. I can understand where this would, you know, hurt him to the core. You know, we make a lot of fun about Matt Millen around here for his failed career in the NFL, but fact is that he's still well-respected around the league, certainly for his playing, maybe not so much his managing, but for his playing career. You know, Matt Millen has been, you know, a sort of a footnote in Patriot history anyway for his, you know, run-in with, you know, former general manager. You know, Pat Sullivan. When that happened back in the, what was that, 80s? Late 70s, early 80s? So, yeah, there's some history there. There's some history there. And if you'd like to share your thoughts, I would certainly entertain that. But we do have some news to talk about today. The fact is again, Ian Rappaport, the Boston Herald, reporting that Albert Hainsworth is gone or will be gone soon. And if that's the case, why Hainsworth over Ocho Cinco, do you think? Does it have anything to do with the alleged, you know, discussions, shall we say, on the sideline Sunday during the game, which I didn't see, as I mentioned earlier? The other issue that I wanted to bring up today, and I put this out on Facebook earlier as a sort of a general question, looking for, you know, either general and certainly specific answers, has to do with what I did yesterday and how that leads into today. You know, I knew that during Patriots Monday there would be a lot of fans wringing of their hands and, you know, crying and moaning and complaining and trying to figure out what was wrong. I didn't really want to listen to the talk show hosts. No offense to those guys. I wanted to remove myself from it for a day. So I chose not to listen yesterday. I wanted to sit with my own thoughts for a day. I didn't want to listen to any response locally. Because I think sometimes here in New England, especially right here from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, we're so close to the forest we can't see the trees. And really, that's kind of what we're guilty of from time to time. We live in our own little insular world here, and you know we're all about things Patriot and around here, and that's what you, of course, listen to. But what I wanted to do yesterday was not so much listen to what our local pundits are saying. I wanted to hear what the reaction was around the country about the Patriots. So I tuned in to ESPN radio, and I watched SportsCenter, and I stayed away from local media Monday, and I listened to national media to see if I could get a different take, to see if I could get a different perspective on how people are looking at the Patriots after two losses. And by the way, two losses that both come after a bye week, which is usually a sign of invincibility for this football team. Has been in the past. We're talking unprecedented here in Bill Belichick's reign. So I wanted to kind of get a feel for where, you know, the national guys were going. And here's what I came up with. The reign is over. Very simply put, the Patriots have finally fallen from grace. I think we all realize that the Super Bowl dynasty itself probably ended after the Super Bowl 42 loss, but the Patriots have still managed to, you know, get into the playoffs with the one exception being Brady's injury year. But now, most national people who cover the NFL on a full-time basis, most national people are saying, well, this is it. This is the beginning of the end. Patriots are getting ready to come crashing back to earth. This team may not make the playoffs. I can't say that I disagree right now. But that, you know, this is finally the end of a very long and storied reign in NFL history. I heard that comment yesterday on ESPN Radio, and I damn near choked. I'm like, wow, that was bold. And then I saw it, and I stopped, and I thought about it. And I'm thinking, you know, there might be something to it. We've been banging on, issues of, personnel and the emperor not wearing any clothes around here and a lot of other things that seem to have passed some people by. And maybe the only thing and the only way that fixes this completely is to start bottoming out.
Interesting quote here, John, from Burt Breer of NFL Network.
Yeah.
He just tweeted, going to pass this along from August on Albert Haynesworth. So when the Patriots were in the preseason heading into the regular season, he talked to a, quote, high-ranking Tennessee Titans source.
Yeah.
That gave him the, quote, direct quote, Belichick will not reach him. And evidently he couldn't.
Well, I think that's very telling now, isn't it? So Burt Breer said that back in August. Well, then, they tried. I don't know. Do you give them credit for trying to reach him? Clearly, they couldn't. Because, indeed, if he is gone today, they didn't reach him. This is also going to spell the end of his career. I don't know. Does anybody else take a shot at Albert? I can't imagine. If he can't work in New England, of course, New England being the reclamation project, place for, we're the NFL's body shop here, okay? We fix all the dings. We fix all the dents. We put new tires on the engine and throw it back out there again with all spit and polish and try to squeeze a few more miles out of it. The Patriots are the auto repair shop of the NFL. And apparently Albert Haynesworth and whatever baggage, whatever repairs he needs could not be fixed. And if you can't fix it in New England, you are unfixable. What are your thoughts on Albert? What are your thoughts on Chad? What are your thoughts on bringing Randy Moss back? What are your thoughts on the defense? What are your thoughts on Tom Brady? What are your thoughts on the national, collegiate scandal? What are your thoughts? Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com, the email address. And the Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, at JRook0722 is the Twitter address. All right, let's start it out with Olivier in Virginia. Olivier, you're in the playbook.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm okay. How's it going?
Well, there's a lot of topics to discuss.
There's
going to go into
a lot of
my
stuff.
Thoughts are on the collegiate situation. I think it's an abomination, and it's something that should be dealt with the fullest extent of the law.
Sure.
I wanted to talk to you about your comment about our team being a body shop. I think it's more of the auto trader of the NFL.
That's a good one.
Yes. It's a good commercial as well.
Yeah, you're talking to somebody who used to do that voice right there. So I used to do the voice work for that commercial.
Oh, that's good. You can do it. The Patriots are the auto trader of this of the NFL now.
Anyway. Yep.
I wanted to talk quickly about the game that we witnessed, and then also what the comment that you made about what the what people start thinking about us.
Right.
I mean, I think we've seen the wording on the wall for quite a while that the passing of a dynasty has happened. It doesn't mean that a new dynasty cannot be reborn from the ashes of the previous one. And I think that everything that's happening right now, and I know we're going back to seeing the glass half full, is good news for us, because at this point we can no longer sit on our laurels. Not that we have, but we've had the tendency with our arrogance and our ability to think that we are coached by a genius, that the things that miraculously things will sooner or later work themselves out because we've got the best coach and the best quarterback. I mean, the truth is that everyone is human, and those guys can only excel if they have a team of superior talent, both intellectually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, to be able to support them. And I think that when I see, our struggles, and when I see the fact that people are kind of looking at each other, they are looking at a spark, they are looking at something to inspire them to get back to where they are, we can that by making a bunch of different types of changes, and one of them is the one we just made, mm-hmm. which is basically the release of Haynesworth. I'm not really sure what happened. He was released just because he had a bad argument on the sideline. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably deep-rooted into his behavior and the fact that maybe he's not motivated by football, but just motivated maybe by money and contracts. And okay. obviously that's not good enough to have a professional athlete to have the type of behavior within the organization. Mm-hmm. But the next question is, who are we going to replace that guy with? You know, I've got no idea. If
they did just reactivate Ron Brace. You know, he was active this last week, and so my guess is that they figured like, well, if we're going to make a move, this is probably the time to make it. And we have a healthy, relatively Ron Brace that kind of fill the bill, and they're just going to have to fill the gap that way.
Yeah, and then your comment about Ocho.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. I think maybe he's a good practice guy, and maybe one that's why they keep him. But I think sooner or later he's going to be cut as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that if he's a real gentleman, you know, he's going to go back to the management and say, you know, I don't deserve the amount of money that you gave me because I haven't produced.
That'll never happen.
Negotiate something out. It will never happen.
Never happen.
Never happen.
Never happen. I mean, the fact is that if they're going to cut Haynesworth, it's logical they should cut Ocho Cinco. They have never taken into consideration a guy's classiness or niceness or the fact that he's a good guy. It's supposed to be a business, and if you don't produce, you're gone. It's that simple. And
well, what I meant is that Ocho should actually have the classiness to go to his management and say,
now,
I have not produced and so forth.
But Olivia, you're not being realistic. Are you going to do that to your employer if you have a bad couple of weeks?
Well, this is not a bad couple of weeks. It's my reputation. It's my reputation nationwide.
Are you still going to go to your
employer? Becoming a joke of the nation.
Are you still going to your employer and saying, I don't deserve this? And so here's some money back.
How much money I have and who I am in my career.
Well, I just think that I don't mean to argue with you here, but I don't think that that's realistic. I just don't, because I'm not blaming Chad Ochocinco for making the money he's making. The only blame that needs to be adhered to here is the blame for bringing him in the first place.
Yeah.
And the problem here is that, okay, so you took a shot. That's fine. I have no problem. I have no problem with the Patriots taking a shot on Haynesworth. I have no problem with the Patriots taking a shot on Ochocinco. But at some point in time, you have to be willing to say, this ain't working. And when it's not working, then you got to be man enough to stand up and say, okay, it didn't work. We took a shot. We move on. Next. And
well,
I don't think the Patriots, the Patriots aren't willing to do that. And Bill Belichick isn't willing to do that because he continues to avoid the question.
Yeah.
He was asked about it yesterday. And he went all the way around. I don't know if you heard it, but I wanted to pull my hair out. It's gotten to the point now where I don't even care to listen to Coach Belichick anymore, with all due respect. Because he doesn't tell me anything. He tells me nothing. So,
maybe he's doing some changes he doesn't want to talk about in the media, I can respect that. But, he's got to do something to change that. If not,
well, of course he does. Yeah. Of course he has to, because you know what? What's going to happen here is this is going to spiral down. This is where he needs somebody with some PR savvy to explain to him, there are a couple of things you probably should address here. And if you don't address, this is how it's going to continue to spiral downward on you, and you're going to end up in a negative sense, and this is going to be Cleveland all over again.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is where you have to start going into crisis mode and crisis management, and I'm sure that this has been discussed, but Bill, unfortunately, for a lot of the people that don't know, he rules with an iron fist. And so Bill is only going to do what Bill is comfortable doing. Somebody, and whether or not maybe this is his bosses, but somebody needs to go to Bill and say, Bill, I think you need to address this. And if they don't do it, well, then what? Guess what? They're culpable. Just like the Penn State, administration is culpable for the, tragedy that's going on that campus right now. Okay.
Agreed.
People who are in a position of authority to do something need to be held to a standard.
Yeah, exactly. If he doesn't do anything, he's going to be his own demise. And then, the Kraft team is probably going to have to make some decisions on that. I still remember Jonathan's interview when he was just before the bye week, where he was saying that, they were super happy with Haynesworth, that he was working well, and then they had a great interview with him before he joined the team and blah, blah, blah. And then a couple of weeks later, look at what happened. So anything is possible.
Right. Absolutely.
Behind the scenes.
You know, and I'm not pointing an accusatory finger here, Olivia. That's not my point. But I'm just telling you this is how it works. Yeah. This is as truthful as I can be. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying this is how it is. And we can either choose to work in this environment or we can choose not to. And that's the same thing goes for Belichick and anybody else who works in this particular building. So,
I agree.
We all have this choice. We all have this choice. That's why this is a free country. We all have this choice. We can either do it or we don't have to. And if we don't have to, we can go try to do it someplace else if that's what we go by.
So, another thing that I wanted to mention is that, you know, two weeks ago before the Steeler game, we cut Lee Bodden. And then 1 week before an important division game and an important game that may define our route to our route or demise towards the playoff, we cut like a big defensive player. And we're going to be replacing him, you know, with the gentleman you just mentioned. I don't know how good that guy is, Brace,
Brace was a high draft pick a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, he just has, unfortunately for him, he's been hurt.
Yeah.
So you know, because he's been hurt, it kind of like, you know, we've been banging on Rozai Dowling this year, and he's been hurt. We haven't seen him, so we don't know what he can do. And that's largely what a lot of people feel about Ron Brace. Except he's been around now for 3 years.
Yeah,
you know, it's the same story. So how much longer do we have to deal with these guys? Until, you know, if they don't produce, what good are you? Let's move on. We need to move on. I just don't think that there's anybody here willing to do that, because nobody wants to admit they made mistakes. And that includes being right at the top of the heap here. Nobody wants to admit to the mistake. And it's been a mistake.
Don't admit it, but by your behavior, show that you're changing and addressing a problem, and you know you're not willing just to sit on it.
They're not even doing that.
Yeah.
They're just trying to gloss over it like it never happened. And to me, that's just cheesy.
Yes, no, I agree.
That's not owning up to it.
Do we think that, you know, with the cuts that we are making and so forth, do we think that we are also targeting maybe potential acquisitions? I know the Redskins just you know, release some players. I think
Olivier, there's nobody out there right now. There's just nobody out there right now that if they're not in here now, then they're not good enough to be in here. The only way that you would bring somebody else in, somebody else who just got cut or has been a street free agent for a while, the only way you bring them in is because you need to fill a roster spot, because you got to put a body on the field. Okay, I don't know what kind of quality you think, but we already have that in the secondary right now, don't we?
Yeah, that's correct. Even, you know, they made some announcements. I think Carter said that we don't have any professionals out there in the secondary.
Well, you know, I would admit that, in fact, I would tell you right now that based on what I saw defensively this last Sunday, we actually, our front four, the pass rush that this team put on, while they didn't really get demanding, they certainly collapsed the pocket enough to the point where they made our secondary look like a pro secondary. And it's the first time I was able to say that all year. All year. I actually thought this was the best overall game our defense played all year.
I agree, they played great.
Until that last drive.
And unfortunately, the offense didn't produce, therefore we lost the game.
Right, and until that last drive. That last drive, they got soft. They got scared. They stopped attacking. They kept everybody in front of them, and what happened? They drove right down the stinking field, just like in stupid Super Bowl 42. I could not tell you, as that last drive was underway, after the Patriots scored, there's 1:36 to go, and I said, there's too much time.
Yeah.
Eli Manning is going to pull a Super Bowl 42. Sure enough, that's what happened. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming as sure as I know my own name. And unfortunately, my intuition did not let me down.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, you know, some people think that as a result, I'm a proponent of this year we lose all streaks, and so far it's happened. You know, we never lose after a bye week, we lost. We never lose at home, we lost. We never have a three-game loss. Well, I think we may actually experience that on Sunday against the Jets, because the Jets are playing better and better and better. They proved that against the Bills.
Yep.
And we are a little bit digressing. So we have to do some soul searching right now to be able to, you know, to understand what we are made out of.
Yep, I agree.
I think it's going to be very, very telling.
I agree. We'll learn a lot more about this team this week.
I agree. Well, thanks for your time, John. I wish you a good day, and
thanks.
I'll talk to you sometime later on this week.
You got it, Olivier. Thanks for the
phone call.
Much. You betcha.
Thanks, bye.
He's a good guy. He's a good caller. He's passionate with his stuff. Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Eldridge, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
Upset you like you are, man, and I agree with you 100%. cut Chad. It's about time Hangriff gone, so he wasn't doing nothing. But to me, they could take a vacation and still get paid. It was like it would look like to me for the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Randy, I would love to have Randy back. Matter of fact, I was yelling that since day one they cut him. And Brady did talk to him during, I think it was during a preseason.
Yep.
Because he was asked about it on the interview.
Yep.
He said, yeah. They talked, whatever.
Yeah.
But Randy, yes. Now, as far as the cornerback go, man, Fabian Washington is still out there. He's better than what we got on the field.
Who is that again?
Fabian Washington.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's corner for the Ravens.
Yeah.
5'11", 190 runs. Runs what? Runs past the receivers and can cover and can hit.
I don't think
he's
that. I realize that, but I think that he doesn't fit what they're looking for in terms of a model for a cornerback. You know,
I don't see why not. It's better than Adam.
You probably are right about that, Eldridge. But at 5'7", I don't
he's
think
not that, 5'7". He's 5'11".
Oh, 5'11". All right. Well,
5'11". He's not 5'7". He's 5'11".
All right. Well, you know what? Maybe. I would allow that. But again, you're talking personnel stuff, and I've stopped trying to figure out this team personnel-wise because I can't. I can't figure them out. I don't know what they're looking for. I really don't.
I don't either. I heard earlier that Stallworth is out there again. So if Dante is out there, him and Brady did have a look for him. Why not go get him? He knows the offense. Well, he can stretch the field.
And that Bill
O'Connell, he don't have to do no second half adjustment.
With the legal troubles, Eldridge, that Dante Stallworth had, I don't think that's a route the Patriots want to travel. I would personally be much more comfortable, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I'd be much more comfortable bringing Moss back.
I would too. I can say it, because like I said, I'm a Moss fan.
Okay.
I would, at least I hope that they probably would use it as a decoy a couple of times, but as many times they throw to Chad, I wish they throw to him. I had more catches on Madden 11 on my PlayStation with Chad Pico. Did the Patriots do on the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just ridiculous. But another thing I agree with you on, I think Bill got too much power. I mean, he's a PR man. He's a talent evaluator. He's, and he's all these other things that he's doing. He needs some help. He can't do it all by himself. He's spreading himself thin. And we're getting weaker by it. That's what I look at. That's what I think.
Welcome to our world.
Weaker by it. I've been saying this for about the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, and Brady Sunday, I got to agree with Rodney Harrison. He don't trust that offensive line. That's why he was doing some inherent throws, because he got hit a lot. He got forced a lot, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He don't trust that line. He wasn't comfortable back there. He was the first 3 weeks.
He not only doesn't trust his line, he doesn't trust his receivers.
No, he don't trust Chad.
Well, That's true. But you know what, though? He's leaving the ball out there for guys like Gronk and for Welker especially. They're getting the crap beat out of him right now. Have you watched this? You seen this?
I watched 9 weeks, man. I got that NFL ticket. I watch all the Patriots games.
Okay, then you're seeing what we're all seeing. These guys are getting the crap beat out of them.
Yeah.
Because, when you got 8-9 guys around the ball within 5 yards of the ball at all times, you're gonna get your head knocked off.
Yeah, but isn't that Bill O'Brien's fault?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Can't come up with no adjustments.
Well,
I
said that a little while ago, Eldridge. Absolutely. Yeah. But the problem is that there's only so much adjusting you can do when you don't have the ability to stretch a defense.
That's true. But according to him in his interview, he ain't addressing that too much. They already got somebody. I ain't seen him yet. Have you seen him?
No, I haven't seen him. They talked last week about Taylor Price, and yet Price is a freaking inactive this week. Come on.
Yes.
What's up with that?
That's just talk, trying to hush everybody up, I think. But I'm like you. It's time to cut Chad, and they need to call him Moss like Brady do, and talk to him on a basis, and get him back in there. If they don't get him, like I said, like I told them a couple of weeks ago, you had another young receiver, which has been in the league about 3 years. He stretched the field, and he made some catches. That was Tyshawn Underwood.
Mm-hmm.
Fastest guy we had in the league besides Moss.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut him. And he was catching for Hoyer and Mallett, but he never had a chance to work with Brady because at my time he was catching for them two
mm-hmm.
preseason. So why, I think he was driving better with Brady. Mm-hmm. At least Brady had somebody along.
Yeah.
But only one day with you, then I got to go.
Okay.
Isn't it funny that we had two number ones, two number twos, and two number threes? We could have jumped up there and got AJ Green or Julio Jones, but you see what A.J. Green is doing for Cincinnati, and we got Chad Ochocinco?
Yeah.
Do you see, I know Julio's been hurt, but he got, what, 153 yards this weekend, showing what he can do?
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Peterson, the corner for the Cardinals?
Yeah.
And Bill had a chance to get either one of those three? Or J.J. Watt, for that matter, pass rusher.
Yeah, I know, but they prefer to go the value route, and I would, you know, ask, well, how's that value route treating you now?
It ain't treating them good, and then we got two running backs. Now, I like Ridley. I ain't seen Vereen, but...
That's because Vereen's been hurt.
DeMarco Murray went in the third round, and he's another AP,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have him. Cowboys got two good backs now.
Right.
Bill, y'all be kicking his butt himself in the butt every day.
Mm-hmm.
He had a chance to get him.
Right,
but that's not having nobody to scout for you, do everything that you need to do, but instead of you running everything yourself.
Right,
that's the way I look at it.
Okay,
well, I'm gonna have to go, John.
Thanks, Eldridge. Yeah, you betcha, buddy. Thanks for the phone call. All right, let's go to the great state of Georgia. Big Al and Valdosta, you're up first here. How are you?
Oh, John Rook, save me!
I don't have any answers, brother.
I'm drowning.
I wish I had the answers. I can only give you some ideas.
Throw me one of those rubber rafts or something, you know? Jeez.
I know. I kind of feel like that right now myself. I totally do.
John, look. First of all, I agree with you 10,000%. Cannot blame the defense this time.
Nope.
And I, I've been defending the defense all year, maybe to excess, but this week was the poster child for that. Two picks in the first half. Neither one. Done by the defense, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
The defense did not miss that chip shot field goal.
Nope.
At the end of the first half.
Nope.
No fumbles by the defense.
Nope.
The defense gave up 3 points, legit points, all the way to the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were just too tired at the end. They played a lot of football.
Yeah, and then they made
they wore it out.
Yeah,
the end.
And then they made the two mistakes at the end. I mean, in both instances, the interference calls were the receivers slowed down, and Arrington and Sergio Brown both bumped into the receiver, and
yep.
and that's just, you know what, that happens in football. It sucks, and I actually thought in looking at Sergio Brown's, I actually thought that it looked like he should not have done what he did. Arrington's, I actually am willing to excuse as a normal course of playing football, but Brown probably should have known better. But, hey, this is what we had to deal with. We got undrafted free agents out there playing in a meaningful football game at a meaningful time in the game. They're out there because we got nobody else. And that you have to pin on the people who make the decisions as far as personnel.
When you have you're up at that facility, of course, and I'm not. But when the defensive backs go to their meetings every week or every day that they meet, is there a revolving door that leads into the defensive back room? Because that's how many we got more people in and out of the defensive backs. We lead the league in changes at defensive back. Mm-hmm. It is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot keep a group of defensive backs together for more than a cup of coffee. And yet we're supposed to be all coordinated back there.
I know.
No. Yeah.
I know.
So yeah, maybe at the end of the game I'm tired. I lose my concentration. We've held the opponent to 10 points, 7 points of which were just given to him by a ball out of my hand fumble by Brady at the third quarter. So they basically only gave up 3 points. Until, 5 minutes to go or so, 6 minutes to go. Sure, they're probably not concentrating, they're tired, they played a lot of football, they made some bad plays down the stretch and it cost them.
Right.
But I do not blame the defense at all. They played very, very well.
I totally agree with you, Big Al. Totally agree with you.
And as far as Ocho goes, look, we're not getting the ball downfield. Either Tom doesn't have time or he doesn't think he has the time, and everything isn't just dink and dunk. It's dink and dinkity dunk. I mean, we're lucky to, run 3 or 4 yard patterns before he's got to get rid of the ball. Again, either because he thinks he has to or he really has to. I don't, pretend to know how that goes. But Deion Branch isn't getting any catches either.
Mm-hmm.
They're just on Ocho. You know, the exposition is not catching the ball.
Right.
And so I can't blame Ocho. Plus, near the end of that game, I think we scored on the drive anyway. But it was, I think we had the ball around there 40 or 30 or something, and Ocho was more open than, I mean, he was wide freaking open, and Tom airmailed.
Well, that's very true. You have to put part of that blame on Brady. But I would tell you that even if we do put some of the blame on Brady's shoulders, and it is deserved because it takes two to tango, as you know.
Right.
I think you have to realize that there is a disconnect there. Some way. And I'm not saying whose fault specifically it is. It's probably both of their faults. But just because the fact that the disconnect exists means that change needs to occur. And
did Deion Branch have yesterday?
You're right. You're making a good point. Sunday. But a change has to happen because you're not getting rid of Brady.
No, you're not. No, and I'm certainly not suggesting that. But he's in a bad way right now.
Yes, he is.
It's only been that way for the last three games.
I think
the Dallas game wasn't real good, and then
I think he's having arm trouble. I think he's having arm trouble.
You know, that could be. You know, because certainly we've been down this road before with that. If the defenses know that he can't throw the deep ball, then what are they going to do?
Not only can he not throw the deep ball, he's having trouble with the intermediate throws because we saw short hops on Sunday.
Yep.
Okay?
Having said all that, we are perfectly capable of beating that team next week. We go down there and beat them next week, you know, the whole atmosphere will be different.
Not going to happen.
And, you know, I think we can beat them.
Nope.
You know, if you gave me a choice, the game is next week. This game with the Giants is, you know, the fans are pissed because we remember Super Bowl 42, and, you know, and so it's Eli got us again at the buzzer, and everybody's upset. And, you know, I understand that. But this was not the game. If we had won this game and lost next week, you know, what do you gain? Not a whole lot.
I'd rather lose this week and win next week.
You give me next week's game.
I understand.
I don't care what happens Sunday.
I understand. And you're right. Winning at the Jets will cure a lot of ills. I don't see it happening right now, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't see this team pulling itself out of this you know, morass that it's in right now. This team has got to go a little bit further down before it starts to work its way back up. I'm not convinced that this team has enough character on it to be able to play with the kind of attitude that you need to play like Patriots teams in the past have done. Hence, the reason why you're hearing around the country all the talk about, you know, the quote-unquote, you know, reign of terror for the Patriots is over. And I'm beginning to come to that conclusion myself.
I don't believe it, John.
I hope you're right.
I hope you're right. We got the Jets right where we want them. for once, they might actually be favored. You know, they're not going to be the underdog.
No, they won't be.
For once, they might actually be favored in a football game against the Patriots.
Yep.
So, you know, what are they going to do? What are they going to talk about all week instead of this? What they usually talk about, how they're so in awe and whatever, or they play this underdog card. They're supposed to win.
Yeah.
So let's see what they say this week, now that they're, you know, not the underdog anymore, understudy to the Patriots.
If they're smart, they won't say anything. That's very true. Al, thanks for the call. I'm going to move on here so we can get some others in. Staying in the state of Georgia, here's Donald. Donald, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm okay, Donald. How are you?
Good. I got to tell you, I love the playbook. It's not all that arguing and stuff. I like that. I appreciate it.
No problem.
I got 2 points here.
Go.
And I think this, I've never heard anybody bring it up, but the death of Mr. Martinez, I cannot remember his first name, but Brady's quarterback guru, high school coach.
Yeah.
Brady spoke often about going out for a tune-up or talking on a weekly basis to this guy about his mechanics and stuff. And it could be just as much mechanics as it is arm trouble.
That's an interesting observation, Donald. That really is. You know what? You're right, because in the past, you know, he would see some things about Tom, and he would pick up the phone and he would call him and say, "Hey, did you think about this? Did you think about that?" And obviously, he doesn't have that any longer. That's an interesting observation.
He really needs to. Somebody needs to find him a man who's got a trained eye. Obviously, O'Brien is not the man with the trained eye. need somebody with a lot of experience to be able to see these small differences in mechanics.
That's interesting.
Which, from what I gather, are very, very important to Tom Brady's throwing. I do have another point, though, and that is that, you know, even when we had teams that weren't overly talented, but they were to be feared, the problem, what we had with those teams was were teams that loved to win. I mean, everybody hates to lose, but a lot of people don't play with enough passion to win.
I think you're spot on. I think you're spot on. Absolutely. You said it very well. You said
all
it very
right. well. We'll talk again. Thank
Donald,
you.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate that. Listen, if I don't have anything else to add, I'm not going to add for the sake of hearing myself talk. Kevin, are you shocked? It's like, he's not saying anything. What's the matter?
I listen to you talk all the time. I never get sick of it. I got, 2 hours Tuesday, 2 hours Wednesday, 2 hours Thursday, then 4 hours on Sundays?
Maybe. Maybe, right? All right, let's get Dante in North Carolina in here. Dante, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Okay, pal.
That's good, man. The bottom point is, I know everybody talk about the offense and defense, but it really comes to Belichick, man. He put that team in that position, if you really look at it, by the draft picks and all this type of stuff. I mean, like you said, we don't have no players, man, and you can't expect to win. That's just like Harrison said when he was talking to the Dungeon of the night. He don't care who's coaching, what scheme you're running. If you don't have the players, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
It's just simple as that. I understand about Brady. I mean, our offensive line, man, he was scared back this Sunday, man.
Yeah.
He was getting rid of the ball too early and stuff like that. Like I talked to y'all last week, I don't care what you say. If you had Randy Moss, I mean, that's two people out to play every time. If you know when Brady throw his interceptions, everything is in the middle, man. All the interceptions come in the middle. Ready to welcome and Granasi yet. You don't have nobody. I think Ocho can scratch the field. Not Ocho, put Price in it in.
Well, but the problem is Price hasn't been healthy. I mean, they talked about putting Price in last week, and then he's a scratch this week because he's got a hamstring injury. Guy can't help you if he can't get on the field.
Yeah, you're right. But I think it's something up with that deal right there, because something just ain't right about that, man.
Well,
like I said, if you had Randy Moss, though, I know people don't care about him and all this and that, but that's two people out to play right there, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dante, let me ask you something, Dante. Would you advocate to get Randy Moss back? Would you like to see him back?
You're dead on right.
Why?
Just the fact I just said, man. I mean, I think Brady, he ain't got no confidence. When Brady throw that ball downfield, man, he's not confident when he throw that ball downfield, man. Look at him.
So why would you not want to see Moss come back?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I want to come back.
Oh, you want him to come back? Okay.
Yeah.
I misunderstood.
Belichick and Robert Kraft, they need to put these crazy ideas away from town. I don't know what they're thinking about. But it come back to what people say, what have you done for me lately? I know you won these Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. What you doing now?
Mm-hmm.
You got to make a change, man.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Moss, I don't care. Just by his name, that's going to change people's game plan.
You're right.
They ain't going to put all them people up there.
You
like
are right.
Man jammed the middle. Jammed the middle.
You are right, Dante. Just by his mere presence in there, automatically is going to command respect, automatically is going to make sure that his safety comes over to cover,
yeah.
And that's going to loosen things up. His mere appearance out on the field is going to loosen up the middle of that defense.
Yeah. I don't see why Belichick and them just won't go get him. They need to put that mentality they got. We're going to get rid of him. That's it.
Because they don't like the way he left here, and they don't want Randy to say, see, I told you I'd be back.
Yeah, but sometimes, man, they got to look at it as a player standpoint, too. I can understand. That's just like me, man. I'm going to my job. If I did a good enough job, man, I'm going to go talk to somebody. I think I need a raise. If I deserve it, give it to him, man. Mm-hmm. Don't come here and wait for somebody to get hurt. Then what? He got a family to take care of.
All right, let me, Dante.
They need to get for real, man.
All right, Dante, let me play this game with you then, because you sound like a great candidate for this. Let me just play a little what if. All right.
Okay.
If let's say they bring Moss back. All right. Everybody's happy that the Patriots have a deep threat again. What if?
I'm saying it's going to help out. And I ain't talking about the defense. We just talking about the offense.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Just about offense. Okay. That's all. Okay. Offense only here. All right, but let's say what if. Let's say what if Randy does something again like he did last year. Let's say he holds his own little press conference because Tom misses him on a route when he was open, that he starts to, some of that little selfish Randy comes out again.
Then
what do you do?
Before you even get to that, you go ahead and put that miss in his contract, man. That if he want to act the fool, first time you act the fool, you're gone.
Okay.
I'm going to stop that before we even get to that point, man.
Okay. All right. So we bring him back, but we bring him back on our terms. Is that basically what we're saying?
Yeah, it got to be sort of even, man.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Think about it, man. If we had Randy Moss over there on the right, think about what Hernandez, Granowski, and Weckler.
Oh, yeah.
Man, something got to give.
Yeah.
Like, I play Madden a lot. That's my nickname. That's my gamer tag online. My name is Schemes of Belichick, man. I used to bring the Zodic blitzes. See, Belichick, he can go back to, like, your defense ain't doing nothing anyway. So bring, let Whistle be in there, the only one man down. Let everybody else stand up. Do something. Be more creative, man. Because that's what we doing. One person is getting blocked by one person. Mm-hmm. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, man. Like you say, we ain't got no mean streak, man. You got to have a mean streak, man.
Yeah.
You got to, man. Yeah. I was sending him out so excited. I mean, pissed off, man. I was in here talking to my wife about it. She's a Colts fan, man.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds crazy. I wish I could just talk to Belichick just for 1 hour, man. Just for 1 hour. That's all. That's all I need to talk to that man. I'm for real, man. Y'all might think I'm crazy, but.
No, I don't think you're crazy. I think you'd have to stand in line, though, Dante.
I know, right? But on the thing, like on the defense part of the ball.
Okay.
He got to be more creative because everybody see the same thing. Like you said, we got third screeners out there playing, man. We got third screeners.
I know.
One starter out there, and that's Whiffle, man.
Right.
Everybody else, Chung, he do it. Man, if Chung could play the ball a little bit, go for the interception,
mm-hmm.
he could have had a couple interceptions. And our cornerbacks, my God, man. My son's telling me, why they not looking at the ball, Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
They won't turn around. I know it's rough. Believe me, I know it's rough, man. But some kind of point, man, it's got to be a technique they can teach them at a time for them to turn their head around, man.
Well, that's what we noticed on both of those interference calls. Neither one of those guys really turned their heads around, and that you're going to get flagged for that every time if there's any contact.
McCourtney, man, he's falling. I mean, he was doing that at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm, he was.
That's just like at the preseason, man. My homeboy, he's from Atlanta. He's a Dallas Cowboys fan. And he was talking about our defense. I mean, preseason, that's the most I've seen us blitz, really, man, than regular season, man. Preseason.
Did we run any blitzes?
Go back and look at the tapes, man. Preseason, we blitzed, man.
Did we run any blitzes this last week?
Might run one or two.
One or two, maybe?
I'm just saying, man. I mean, like I said, I blame this team on Belichick, man. We had all the picks.
Mm-hmm.
We could have built a daggone defense team, man.
I agree.
Linebacker, man, he at least wouldn't have got an outside rushing linebacker or defensive end, a pass rusher, man.
Right. Right. Interesting.
And my friend, y'all told me to call back today.
We did.
My best friend's a Jets fan, and I'm already hearing it, man.
I believe you are.
And I can't say nothing.
Well, no, you can't.
Bears and San Antonio Holmes and Kel, they're gonna tear us up, man.
Yeah, I think you should probably lay low this week. Dante.
He's already talking junk, man.
I know. Thanks for the phone call, buddy.
All right, man, I appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah.
Y'all take it easy, man.
Thank you. You too.
All right, yeah.
So, there you go. Wow, that was... I can't believe we haven't taken a break. I didn't even have a chance to breathe. You want to squeeze one in here, Kev? And maybe the only one we get this hour. All right, so here you go. Here's your chance if you hadn't had a chance. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Web radio at patriots.com, the email, and the Facebook, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. At Twitter is at JRook0722. All right, your thoughts on certainly nitpicking the game from Sunday, as this is Nitpick Tuesday. But Albert Haynesworth, gone. Who should be next to go? Will anybody be next to go? Your thoughts coming up in the playbook.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Birds!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Birds!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Birds!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Hour number two inside the playbook, sort of an abbreviated hour two because hour one went kind of long. But there's plenty of time still for you to contribute. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. webradio@patriots.com and Facebook. This one comes up. I just posted it. If you got Facebook and you want to go on the Facebook page, do it, because I just put it up there. Kevin just sent it. It was a photo of Tom Brady from Barstool Sports. And I just put it on the Facebook page so you can, you know, look at it yourself. But to me, if this is how Tom Brady really spent his Sunday morning trying to prepare for obviously a very important game, a game in which he's paid millions of dollars to play and to perform at his high level, then he's lost all desire as far as I'm concerned. Just you can't.
Everyone
possibly,
sucks but me.
You can't possibly imagine. I'm just like, it just, you got to look at it, okay? It's a picture of him and Giselle and their two-year-old son and their dog in the basket in the front of a tandem bike bicycling around Boston Sunday morning.
Woohoo!
Now, I don't really think that anybody begrudges Tom the opportunity to, you know, live a relatively normal life. But on game day? Really? On game day? See, I don't know about you, but before I have a game, and I'm just a broadcaster, but before I have a game, I'm studying my ass off.
Yeah, you should be here at 4:30 in the morning with me.
Okay. I mean, on game day, we're all working.
Yeah. It's actually kind of funny on game day, though, because, like, all right, for those of you listening, John and I work pretty much on the same team or the same crew from an operational standpoint on Sundays. And we all get here, what would you say, John? I mean, I get here pretty early. I mean, a lot of us
I'm here, you know, roughly 2 to 3 hours before the kickoff.
Yeah, and it's weird. I'm here a little bit earlier than that, but it's weird to see, you know, you're here and you're getting ready, and I'm here and I'm getting ready. And then you start seeing players just kind of wander in, and it's kind of strange to me.
You know, I put it up there because it was a funny photo, okay? First of all, it was funny. It was kind of cute. And then I realized there's a deeper meaning to it. And the fact is that, you know, it just doesn't seem like there's any sense of urgency. Doesn't seem to me like, you know, you just got your butt beat by Pittsburgh and you're about to get your ass handed to you by New York, but you're on a tandem bicycle with your billion-dollar wife who makes more money than you with this stinking little dog in the basket in the front. Oh, my Lord. Dude's whipped. Right? Dude is whipped. That's all there is to it. He's lost all drive and desire. To play football, that is. Wow. Thanks for pointing that out. I had to put that up on the Facebook page because that was a real eye-opener. I'm like, wow, on game day? Oh, my Lord, on game day. Game day. I realize you work a lot during the week, okay? I realize that, you know, it's pretty heavy stuff here, and you're probably putting in a lot of hours film study and whatever, and you need a little break. Sometimes you have to kind of back off. I understand that. But on game day? Really, on game day. Game day. Sound like Allen Iverson. Practice. We're talking practice. Game day? Game day.
Practice? We're talking about practice, man. Not a game. Practice.
Wow. All right, the big story, of course, has to do with Albert Haynesworth. His release. Mike Reese from ESPN Boston has the numbers. He was on the field for 133 of 561 defensive snaps, which includes penalties this year. Certainly, we all hoped that he would team up with Vince Wilfork in the middle of this newfangled 4-3 that the Patriots are going back to this year. But it's very clear that what we all hoped for and what happened, well, never materialized. He was situational at best. He was a backup at most because we saw Kyle Love, especially the last few weeks, play ahead of Albert Haynesworth in the 4-3. And now that you have, as I mentioned earlier in the program, now that you have Ron Brace coming off the PUP, and you've got Gerard Warren, who certainly is a reliable player, where does he fit in the scheme? So you gave up a fifth-round draft choice. All right, cannon fodder, right? You also gave up $1.5 million cash. Well, you're just going to write that off as a business expense, I think, now. So, low risk, high reward.
Yeah, and it's not like they didn't have room or don't have room under right. the cap. They still
they
have
do.
Room.
This is not a cap room issue. That this is all about. Well, you know what? He didn't perform when we wanted him to perform. Clearly, there was a little bit of a dust up, some kind of a, I don't want to say altercation, but let's just say a disagreement. Because he was on the field for the for a second half snap. That was Brandon Jacobs' 10-yard run for the touchdown. You've probably even seen the pictures of it because there were some pictures floating around on the internet of how David Deal, who's the left guard of the Giants, basically just, he abused him. Albert never gets abused. I'm sure he got asked about the play. Albert snapped back. Guess what? Albert's gone today. That's what happened. So you lose $1.5 million. There you go. And he's gone.
It's your favorite caller, John.
Kat in Chicago. Kat, good afternoon. How are you, hon?
Well, I wish it was a little better circumstances.
Well, I kind of agree with that. But anyway, tell me what's on your mind. By the way, I did look at that link that you sent me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it was actually it was a column on Nesson.com, and it actually made a lot of sense.
Yeah, a lot of times I read stuff after the game, and there's, I think as much as any other part of the media, the sports media has a tendency sometimes to sensationalize and overreact and all of that. But
sure.
I thought that was pretty.
I was level-headed.
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't think that anything was said in it that none of us were thinking. I think we're all thinking the kind of the same things. It just that he happened to put a good public spin on it all and called a spade so to speak. So yeah, I thought it was a pretty good assessment. If you want to see it, it's on Nesson.com. But I thought it was a pretty good recap of the weekend's atrocities, shall we say?
It was on the Patriots news roundup.
Okay.
On Monday as well.
Okay, very good.
That's how I found it originally.
Good.
So, immediately after the game, I got a text message from my uncle, and this is pretty regular, we talk football that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, they have to fire Belichick. The team is like watching the old Patriots, pathetic. I thought this guy had a defensive mind. And this was maybe a few minutes after the game, and I got a little bit pissed off about it, And I wrote back to him that you cannot blame the defense for that game. And I feel like this is the second week in a row where I feel that way. That
yeah, you can't.
Defense,
yeah, you can't blame the defense for this game on Sunday. No way.
And so I said, if you want to blame somebody, blame Brady, with the two interceptions and the fumble, and at least one of those interceptions was. I think we've been making some excuses at the beginning of the year for Brady, saying things like, oh, well, Ocho didn't run the route right, or this guy, there was a misunderstanding, and he didn't run the right route, he didn't get, in front of the ball. And now I think we're seeing that maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's just that Brady's accuracy, for whatever reason, is down this year. The fact that I completely agree I somewhat agree with the criticisms on the coaching, right? I agree that we need to have better clock management. I think if we had managed the clock better at the end of that game, we wouldn't have been in that position. And you're right, it's just like the Giants game, from the Super Bowl. And I think that whatever's going on with the quarterback's coaching, whatever's going on with the other big thing I had a problem with coaching-wise was, what were we doing with the rotations? why, at, on the most important drive of that game, did we have Sergio Brown, Tracy White, right?
Yeah.
Who? Why? It, like, are
injury.
The guys that tired?
Well,
get those guys off the field and put the starters in.
It was Guyton was
Guyton
out because
tapped
of,
out.
Yeah,
he was hurt.
Right.
Yeah, but Guyton wasn't that great. I mean, was Spikes hurt enough that he couldn't? Come
well, but
back
who else are you going to put in there
yeah,
though?
Spikes
Cap, but
was
who,
already been out.
Yeah, Spikes was already done. He was already hurt. So who else are you going to put in there? You don't have anybody else. That's why Tracy had to go in there. And that's the problem. Well, this team doesn't have any depth.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, and I think, and I don't know, I just, yeah. I agree that there's not a lot of depth. I mean, I think, though, that Arrington wasn't hurt. Actually, you know, I didn't think that, I mean, it was Adams' first game starting. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, ever, like, NFL-wise. Because is he a rookie or is he a second-year guy? He's a young guy.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up. I don't have it right in front of me.
Okay. Well, either way, I thought for a guy playing his very first game, I actually didn't think he was that bad. I mean, he did some boneheaded things, but no more than Barrett or Sergio Brown or, you know, most of the other guys do on a regular basis, and they've had more starts. And he also showed, I thought, a couple of flashes of potential in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I go back to everybody's criticizing Belichick and thinking about Belichick, and, you know, this was kind of a theme last week, too. And whenever I hear someone say that, let's fire Belichick, we have to fire Belichick, I just think, seriously? What's going to happen? Let's just think this through a little bit more. What's going to happen if you fire Belichick? Is he going to retire? I don't think so. You know where he's going to go? He's going to go right down to Miami, mm-hmm. and you're going to play him twice a year because they would jump at the chance to get him.
Yeah.
And since, you know, all the coaching staff down there is on their way out anyway, already sold their houses, they're packing up, that's a pretty real potential situation there. So, great. So do you want to play against Belichick twice a year? I don't. No matter how much you dislike the guy personally, right, and how big of a jerk he is, because he's a jerk. And it's funny because he's exactly the same type of guy who he would cut as a player. Stubborn, opinionated, disrespectful. He is exactly the type of guy that he would cut.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
But I don't want to play against him. That's for sure. And then the other thing is drafting, too. You know, people are really, really, really on the drafting bandwagon, and you know, why haven't we drafted a pass rusher? Why haven't we drafted this? And it's like, can we step back for a second and look at the draft and look at the success rate of any team in the draft, first of all, right? You're never, I mean, it is so, so rare to have a draft class on any team where more than half the guys end up staying on the actual roster. And where have our picks been over the past 5-10 years? I mean, how frequently have we had a pick that's over 20, you know, over 25? Where are you going to get this elite pass rusher? They're gone after 15 picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody says, oh, well, let's package them and trade up and all of that. And it's like, you know, come on. You're starting to talk about, like, the Mike Ditka, you know, package everything, send the draft, get the guy. It's like, that's an awful lot of pressure on whoever you're drafting to pan out. And I think if you looked at it statistically, when people take a big shot on a guy, you know, we think about the guys who work out, like Quinn this year is looking pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was what, like maybe, he was in the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was around 15th or so drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many of those guys don't work out? I mean, you could look at Ernie Sims or, you know, some of these guys who have been huge draft picks over the past few years who are bouncing around and haven't done it. So I agree they need some help, but I feel like we're starting to throw the baby out with the bathwater here.
Yeah. By the way, Adams in his second NFL year.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. South Carolina State. Yep. So, I mean, you know, but the point is, though, is that, you know, a guy like Adams, you know, I mean, come on, really? You know, we can't do better than that. And that's no offense to him, okay? No offense to him. I'm just saying that, you know, but this is what we're left with because, you know, the choices that they've made have been poor choices. I'm just trying to get people to be accountable for their choices. That's all.
Right.
That's all. I want people to be accountable. As long as they're accountable, then they can tell us how they're going to plan on fixing it. And then that's great. And then, you know, if they don't get fixed, well, then they need to be held ultimately accountable, as everybody is when they don't do their jobs. Ultimately, if you don't do your job, you're going to get canned. It's that simple.
Yep. Well, I agree. I mean, I think the point earlier, your point about, and I felt the same way last week, the point about the offensive play calling and the scheme and what we're doing has been very vanilla. There's been no adjustment in game or from game to game, right? We're just seeing the same thing again and again and again. And I think that, you know, I think that's certainly something that has to be addressed. And at the same time, though, you know, you can say, I'm willing, just because of the past 2 weeks, the way the defense has played, and we all agree that these guys are the bottom of the barrel. But even that being the case, the past 2 weeks, they haven't played that badly, the defense. They've kept us in it, which is amazing, while the offense has been screwing around. And that picture, by the way, the dog in the front basket of that picture is what really just puts it over the top, because that is so ridiculously awful. And, you know, so who knows? Maybe Brady is screwing around. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but there's something not good going on with Brady, with the offensive play calling, with, I mean, I don't know how much these guys are in the rooms practicing either, and how much they're, you know, how much film they're watching, all of that. But I rarely see, you know, I had this discussion with my husband a couple weeks ago where we were talking about Peyton Manning. You know, my husband's a Colts fan. He grew up in Indy. And, you know, the whole Peyton Manning situation is obviously a big topic of discussion. And he said to me, well, Manning's always been a lot more diligent than Brady has been. And I said, really? You think so? Why do you think that? And I hadn't really thought about it, because most people lump them together in terms of elite quarterbacks. And he said, well, you never see Brady. How often do you see Brady sitting on the sidelines looking through the, you know, the photos, right? Looking through the past few plays and the, you know, how everybody lined up, the photos of the game that they consider, you know, that they have in the binders. And I said, well, that's true. You don't.
Right.
You don't see him doing it.
Right.
And you always see Manning doing it.
Correct. Correct.
So, I don't know.
Good stuff, Kat.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hopefully we turn it around.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure it's going to happen this weekend, but, you know, this is just one of those stretches that you have to try to work your way through. That's basically the only real legitimate way I think to look at it. It's gonna take a little while to work through this.
Yeah.
So,
well, thanks.
Thank you. All right, let's go to Lashana in Las Vegas. Lashana, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm good. Could be better because I work in a male-dominated profession. So,
okay.
You know, when I came into work yesterday, it was a mess. I mean, I always wore my Patriots jacket to work, so then I couldn't even come in the building yesterday. It was crazy.
So you were taking garbage for wearing the jacket?
Yeah, I couldn't even wear the jacket. It was just, it got too bad.
Wow.
But I think Kat made a lot of great points, and most of the points she brought up was what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
Which is, I really don't want to hear about what the defense didn't do and how the defense is this and that, because the bottom line is, the past two games, the defense is the reason why we were in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, we sucked. Absolutely sucked. I mean, the Giants, they didn't score in the first half. If we score even one touchdown, we're ahead. They didn't score, period. I mean, we couldn't even kick a field goal. Our kicker, he might as well not be on the team either.
Right.
I mean, just, okay, let's miss field goals like we were scoring, you know, 20 points. We're not doing it anymore. We're doing the same stuff we've been doing since the beginning of the season, and this is football. Everybody adjusts. Everybody studies. We're not the only team that studies for each game individually. Obviously, they figured out what we're doing, how we're doing it. I believe it was the Bills coach. I don't remember his name, but he told all of his linemen, when Brady passes, I don't care what you do, your hands better be up. Ever since that game, everybody does it to us, and we continue to do the same plays, same schemes, using the same players. I mean, Welker, you just can't stop him no matter what. I don't care what play we're doing, you just can't stop him. There's some games he gets shut down, but for the most part, not. If we don't change what we're doing offensively, we're going to see the same stuff happen. I don't know where Tom Brady's head is. Maybe Sunday mornings he'd rather be with his family than playing football. But if so, then he doesn't need to play anymore. Because at this point, that's how he's playing. Like, his head is someplace else. And that's pretty much what I got to say about it. I'm so upset. I can't even wear my jacket anymore. It's because I made a bet. So
wait a second. LaShawn, you made a bet, and so now you have to not wear your jacket?
Yeah, because I said that we were going to beat the Giants. And one of my coworkers said, you're going to lose, and if you lose, you can't wear your jacket. If you win, then he would have to wear my jacket to work.
Wow.
Now I can't wear my jacket, and I'm upset about it.
I'm sorry to that. Well, you know, hey, a bet's a bet, right? How long do you have to not wear the jacket for?
3 weeks.
Hope it's not going to get cold on you.
Well, I'm in Vegas. It's not that bad. It's not New England cold. Like, you know, I'm from Providence, Rhode Island. It doesn't get that cold out here. So,
can I ask where you work?
Yeah, I'm a police officer for the city of Las Vegas.
Are you? And so now you can't wear your jacket to work?
No, because I'm getting hassled. Oh. That was part of the bet, so I don't wear it.
Well, if I ever come to Vegas and I ever need some help, can I call?
Definitely. You know I got your back, man.
Oh, you're too good. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, look, chin up, all right? I realize that it's a little difficult right now, but, you know, all teams go through this. The Patriots have been very, very fortunate not to go through this for a number of years, and that's why one of the subjects I talked about today was, you know, hey, is this the fall from grace? Are we witnessing, you know, the team finally on a downward cycle? All things are cyclical in life and in the NFL. All things are cyclical. The fact that the Patriots have been on a very high level for an extraordinary amount of time in a day and age when the playing field is level, all right, is really a remarkable story, and I don't think we should lose sight of that. But it doesn't make taking the losses any easier, and it doesn't make, you know, guys, you know, cutting, you know, corners and slacking off and mouthing off to coaches if that's what's going on. It doesn't make any of that better. In fact, it only makes the problem worse. We all think we know what the answer is, and the truth is that we all know, and then we all don't know.
That's the thing. You never know. Because we don't know. We can't all say what's going on in that locker room and what the camaraderie is like and you know, what the players are going through. Because at the end of the day, they're all human. Somebody could be going through something personal. We have no clue. And, you know, it gets on the field. All we can hope for is that we can turn it around. We could be seeing the decline. We could be seeing just a bad couple of games. And then we're back where we were.
Well,
like you said before, we're spoiled.
You're right. We're very spoiled. And we're going to know the answer, I think, to your ultimate little statement right there, probably this Sunday at around 7:30.
Exactly.
Eastern time. We're gonna know, because that's about the time that the game will be over with the Jets, and we'll know if this is all complete and total conjecture, or if there's actually some truth to what we're doing here.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Definitely.
Hey, thanks for the phone call.
Thanks for having me.
You betcha. All right. LaShawna, Officer LaShawna in Las Vegas. I love that. That's awesome. How great is that? We're reaching out to all kinds, right, Kev? I like that. All right. Let's squeeze in one more break here so we can do our sponsors right, and then we're going to continue. I got a ton of emails that I want to try to get to. Still a little time if you want to sneak through on the hotline, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, but I'm going to get the emails coming up in the playbook.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y,
right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
All right, let's get some thoughts inside the inbox here. Webradio at Patriots.com. Albert Haynesworth gone today. Patriots were nitpicking the loss to the New York Giants, losing 24-20 on Sunday, and you've got the New York Jets staring in the face. You're looking right down the barrel of a shotgun this week if you are the New England Patriots. You're 5-3. The good part is you're 5-3. You're in a three-way tie for the division lead because the Jets did beat Buffalo, and I think we talked about this scenario last week. And we thought that perhaps that was the better of the scenarios. Nobody likes to root for the Jets, but because you've already lost one to Buffalo, it's probably good to have them on an even keel. You still have them to play. And that if you do win somehow this weekend at New York and you win against the Jets on the road, you do seize control of the division because you'll have the Jets with a sweep. And you've still got the Bills to play. And you're no worse off than a tie depending on what they do this week. So, in effect, you've taken care of one of your partners. The opposite side of this story is that if you lose this week and you fall a game behind, and you don't have an advantage over the Jets, well, then you take a big step toward not being in the playoffs. This is a huge swing week for the Patriots. Huge. Abe sent this note earlier because it's just a waste of time to talk to either Bill or Brady. You get nothing insightful from them. Well, I would argue you probably get more insight from Brady than you do from Belichick when you listen to their press conferences. But there's not a lot there at times. Dave in Monterey, California, been behind Bill since day one. When he got rid of Lawyer Malloy, I backed him. Spygate, I backed him. Getting rid of Mike Brabel, I'm here. With Bill, I've always fallen back on the fact winning cures everything. Now I have to question, what the hell is Bill doing? When was the last time Bill and Tom dropped two games coming out of the bye? When was the last time they dropped two in a row, period? Can Bill beat Coughlin? I don't get it. Bill needs to head coach and GM, but he can't be the DC, OC, DB's coach and special teams coordinator. The guys he doesn't bother are Peppers and Skarnecchia. If I remember correctly, last year both Crennel and Weiss were available. Did Bill even try? He needs to build his staff better. Then there's the question of pass rush. I get the value picks. It sucks, but I get it. But can I just say that one of the best values is a pass rusher has walked right in front of Bill many times over the last few years? What's wrong with signing Jason Taylor? I know he's not what he used to be, but he's certainly better than any other former Redskin we now have. Well, they actually tried to get Taylor here, you'll recall, a year ago, and Taylor said no, he didn't want to come here. He didn't want to move up to New England. That's part of it. Sterling. Right on, dead spot on. Belichick and O'Brien need to be tarred and feathered for not anticipating that teams will load the box like the Jets last year with no deep threats. I can't believe that a copycat league that can look at film wouldn't figure it out. They better do something because Welker, Gronk, and Hernandez getting beat up in midseason is not good at all. I said that in the opening hour, and I think that's going to be the problem. You're going to have to watch it for yourself, but when you see 8 or 9 within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, and you're going to wonder, how come these guys can't get open? Well, there you go. Too much traffic. You've been in traffic jams, right? The Patriots offense is experiencing a traffic jam. That's what's happening. John sends this. He goes, I got a great idea. Let's put Ocho Cinco at corner. He's got speed, decent height. He's in great shape, wants the ball, so maybe he'll want to turn around once in a while. That's the most creative answer I've had all day. Good job out of you, John. All right, Josh from Seaville in Virginia. Charlottesville? I was just there a week ago, Josh. Just there. baseball camp. All right, he says, first of all, I'd like to start off discussing the fact that despite the loss against the Steelers, the Patriots made seemingly no adjustments on offense. As a huge Pats fan, I'm starting to get a little nervous because it seems like these teams are starting to figure out exactly how to shut us down. Brady's an excellent fourth quarter QB, but as a team that struggles defensively, you must put points on the board consistently to beat teams like Steelers, Giants, and yes, even the Jets. Those defenses are clearly not going to lay down this Sunday, so what should the Bellastrator do? Well, I think that despite the fact the Pats lost on Sunday, it was definitely a step in the right direction defensively. I agree. I'm curious to see how our secondaries will perform against the likes of Mark Sanchez. As far as the Penn State thing is concerned, I know about this. If it were just a few regular people who knew about this going on in their place of business or had seen something of that dastardly, disgusting nature and did not go straight to the police or an authority figure that wasn't just a boss who wouldn't take you seriously, you'd go straight the bleep to jail. I hope that everyone involved gets incarcerated. Okay, next is TGNNJ. John, as much as we want to, BB won't cut Ocho. He's not a malcontent. Too much money. They're friends. Nevertheless, it's good that Haynes Worthless is gone. Should be a good thing. Yes, the rain is over, so let's finish up with the morning and move on. No Moss, no Stallworth. Let's get some youth and speed. I'd rather be rooting for a young, hungry team that tries and loses than a bunch of loser vets that don't try. Either way, BB needs some help. He can't do it all himself. I think we're kind of getting a sort of a theme going here. Brady needs help. He can't do it all himself. Best thing for this team right now is to get out of the limelight for the media to stop talking about us. Time to get back to being the underdog who gets no respect. Biggest problem right now is I see no way they can win this weekend. All right, TG. Joel says, John, the Albert release doesn't surprise me. I thought it would be Chad, but I'm sure he is next. I don't know what's next for the Patriots. Bill continues to preach situational football, but he doesn't seem to be following what he preaches. Adam. Okay. I shared this story with the PFW guys. They got a kick out of it. Thought you might like it. I was watching the game with my wife, who knows nothing about football. And after a play, when the Giants got great pressure on Brady, this is how it went. My wife, why can't the Patriots do that? Who's the defensive coach? He needs to be fired. Me. Essentially, it's Belichick. My wife, isn't he the head coach? Me. Yup. My wife, well, why can't he do that? He's a great coach, right? Me. Because we don't have the personnel to do it. My wife, well, we need to fire the personnel guy, whoever that is. Me, it's Belichick. My wife, really, isn't he kind of spread thin with all the work he does? Why didn't he get help? This complete breakdown of the Patriots was brought to you by a person who knows absolutely nothing about football. That's funny. That's excellent. He says, now onto my nitpick. They don't have the personnel, period. This can be attributed directly to the draft. We are the worst team in the league in draft pick retention. Now, I like the way Bill is able to collect picks. This allows for a great amount of flexibility within the draft. But what good is flexibility if you don't use it? They had the opportunity to grab one of four potentially impact pass rushers last year, not to mention a multitude of other potentially impact players at positions of need. Also, the value approach is great, but you have to pick the right guy in order to fit the work. And, of course, obviously they're not picking the right guy. Okay, Toussaint. Rook, it's been a while. I had to write in on my nitpick Tuesday. I have no nitpick for the Pats. They're my team. I'm sticking by them sometimes. The ball doesn't always bounce your way. My nitpick is Joe Pa. How dare he not say something? What if that was his kid being mistreated? Stories like that make me sick. I would say that you are definitely in the majority with that one. Joshua, he says, Eldridge is terrible. Talking about our caller from North Carolina. He likes to call in and spew his crap about the draft picks he would have made ex post facto. Try making your picks before the draft, Eldridge. He wanted to draft another corner a few weeks ago and get Rashai Dowling back in the lineup. Give me a break. Belichick would have gotten crucified if he had traded most of our draft picks away for a wideout. All anyone wanted, including Eldridge, was a pass rusher. Get him off the line. He calls every single show on our PDC radio with the same crap. Well, you know what? Eldridge is passionate, and I'm going to give Eldridge his voice, just like I give you your voice, Joshua. And if you need to get him off the line, then you call in and you take his time off the line. Okay? Luca, I was listening, and I have a question about that PI on Brown. I know that Brown was stupid by steamrolling the guy, but I think, oh, the pass interference. But I think the ball was so overthrown, the ball was uncatchable. I'm stupid, or should the refs factor in a pass interference call? Yeah. And actually, that's a good point, Luca, because I also thought, too, that ball was deep over his head in the back of the end zone, and they very easily could have set an uncatchable pass.
John, happened three times in three different games on Sunday, and every call was the same, but it shouldn't have been. It should have been the opposite call. But they called it, I saw it called three times in three different games, and they called pass interference every time instead of, they used to say the ball was uncatchable. How many times do we remember John Madden saying, how does he know the ball's uncatchable? They used to call that a lot more. They don't do it enough anymore, in my opinion. Off my soapbox.
No, but you're right.
No, really. I mean,
I wondered that at the time it happened. I'm like, wondering, that's not an uncatchable pass.
Yeah, of course it was, but it still always amazes me. It's not just our guys, but I just don't understand why defensive backs do not turn around quick enough. I don't understand it, because if you turn around and look for that ball, stick your hand up, you have a right to the ball, just like the receiver does. But you see it all over the league on so many plays that guys just don't turn around quick enough. I don't get it at this level. No, I'm off my soapbox.
No. We like it when you get
soapbox. I got a big soapbox coming up at 4. But
yeah, all right, tell us. Well, give us a sneak peek.
Well, obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about Albert Haynesworth, and I'm not overly surprised from what I saw.
Nobody should be.
Especially on Sunday. I mean, it was disgusting. That Jacobs touchdown run, he got pancaked in that.
Yeah.
And arguing with Pepper Johnson on the sideline. I don't care what anybody says. This guy, I just don't think, loves to play football anymore. I think it's that simple.
Yeah.
And it might, but I can't let this Penn State stuff go today. It's just unbelievable. If you got to read, I don't know if you have, mm-hmm. That the grand jury testimony, the report that came out this morning at 9 o'clock. I mean, I'm reading it, and I mean, tears are coming down my face. I didn't even realize it. Like around page 13, 14, and 15, unbelievable. But I have a friend, Greg Spano, who was a former offensive lineman at Penn State, is going to come on today. He was there from 2000 to 2002. He ended up transferring to Hofstra at the end of his education, but he played football there at Penn State. So we're going to get his perspective on he and his brother. His brother won't be on today, but Greg will be on and talking about his time there and what he knew what was going on or anything like that. Plus, more on, obviously more about the Patriots. And I know the loss to Dell. I know, once again, 5-3, and you know, this team's not allowed to lose two in a row because they haven't done it, you know, very often, twice in the last 9 years. I still think the panic is way too high. I think the stuff about Belichick not being able to coach and the game passed him by, that stuff is just absolutely crap. It really is. I would wonder today if the Patriots had won 20-17, what the, you know, what
a completely different attitude.
You know, I mean, I was actually for the most part pretty impressed with the defense. I think if the defense plays like that, you take the couple of stupid penalties aside, the defense plays like that for the rest of the year, I think they're going to be okay.
They'll be all right.
Yeah.
You just have to hope that the offense figures out a way to get it back.
True.
In here.
I also think people don't get to realize too. It's like, what's wrong with the offense? They can't do this and that. All right. They played three pretty good defenses here. I mean, they had the Jets, they had Dallas, they had the Giants. Mm-hmm. That's three, and they're going to have the Jets again. Now, after that game, after the Jet game next week, and I don't think they're going to probably put, I'm sure they're not going to put up 30 against the Jets on Sunday, but that's going to be four pretty good defenses in a row that I probably wouldn't expect them to put up 30 in the game. I actually thought against the Giants they would put up 34. So, but I'm not totally surprised considering how well the Giants defense has attacked the ball. I was going on a little bit about their schedule, how they hadn't played a lot of, you know, very good teams yet, but that's a formidable defense. But after this next Jet game, I forget who's left in the schedule. I promise you this team's going to put up some points again. I think you look around the league, Green Bay is the only one that's basically doing it, and they're giving up a ton of yardage and a ton of first downs, but they are 8-0, and they are definitely the best team in football right now. But there's a long way to go. I just think you got to the overreaction. I can't stand it. You know, it's just unbelievable. The team's still 5-3. There's a lot of football left to be played.
There's a ton of football left to be played, but
concerns, absolutely.
But this Sunday against the Jets, there's a better than even chance they're going to be 5-4 and staring up at the possibility of missing out on the playoffs.
Yeah, it's even if they lose that game at 5-4,
the reason
four,
I say that though,
long
Pete, is
go.
Because the North Division has got three pretty good teams in it too. So that you're not going to have the double wild card come out of the AFC East this year. You may not even have one wild card come out of the AFC East.
Well, again, well, there's a lot of football left to be played. You know, injuries. You just never know what can happen. But is it a must-win for them on Sunday night? I don't think it's a must win yet in game nine. But, you know, last time I lost three in a row was 2002 when they started off with that 4-0 start, and then they couldn't stop anybody running, literally could not stop anybody running the ball. And they still almost made the playoffs that year again if it wasn't, you know, they beat Miami at the end of the season and then Green Bay.
Well, you know, we're not, that'll be Armageddon around here. We're not used to that.
No, I know we're not used to it, but I just look at the entire league. I look at all these teams and in the AFC particularly. Now, you take Flacco in Baltimore, for instance, okay? Now, he played well Sunday night in Pittsburgh. I thought he made a couple of great throws, but, you know, you go back to a few other games that he played in this year, and they have, and Baltimore obviously has one of the best defenses in the league. But can you win a Super Bowl with a great defense like that, an inconsistent quarterback? I don't think so. So it can work both ways. Now, Baltimore, especially in the fourth quarter, I mean, Flacco, that last touchdown throw was brilliant. But he's had a couple of clunkers this year. And, you know, we'll see. I just think it works both ways. I think you have to have a balance. You know, you have to have a balance. If you don't have a quarterback that can throw the ball, I think you're going to lose. I don't care what your defense is. I think you're going to lose.
Can I tell you that I think Tom is hurt?
Well, you know, that's...
I think he's... I don't think he's... I don't think
emotionally?
No. I think his emotion is just fine. You see that picture of him on Barstool Sports riding a bike with Giselle?
Yeah, with the Yorkie in the front, yeah.
I think he's fine emotionally.
Yeah. You would be, too, if you went home to her every night, you know? But...
But I'm just saying that, you know, I think he's... You know, we've seen him short-arm some throws. We've seen him force some passes in. We see him overthrowing, and he doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have any receivers that can run deep routes, but he's not throwing deep.
He's still threw for 358 yards. And got
he has Superman wearing number 83.
Well, he also had Gronkowski made some nice catches. Also dropped a big catch that could have been different at that time.
That's
he made that one.
Yeah.
I mean, Hernandez had a time. I mean, you know, it wasn't like this offense was freaking abysmal on Sunday. They ran the ball reasonably well when they had to. I mean, they were trailing 1 point by 10 points in the third quarter, so they're going to be throwing a lot more. But I thought Ben Jarvis did okay. I mean, he averaged over 4 yards a carry in that game. I thought they rushed for over 100 yards as a team. It's just a question of they get down 10. I mean, that was the most bizarre 0-0. Did you ever think that would happen at halftime?
I went back to my records. I've been doing this for 19 years. I've never had a 0-0 game at halftime. Never.
I think that the Patriots never have. In this stadium.
Yes, in this stadium, never. But I believe the last time there was a 0-0 game at half was 92. And I think that was the year before I started.
Yeah, I think that was against Denver. I think that game would be in 9-6, if I remember. They played like Denver like twice in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was a weird, quirky thing in the schedule back then.
So it's been almost 20 years since we've had that.
Yeah, it's but I understand people's emotions are running high, but today, you know what, everything seems so, to me anyway, this Penn State thing puts everything in perspective. It's just it's so gosh damn disgusting to me what's happening, and you know, I have my own thoughts about Joe Paterno, and I just really think, and for him to say yesterday or the day before, just worry about Nebraska. I mean, come on. I am just shocked. And by Pennsylvania law, if you have knowledge that some kid is being, a child is being molested, you're supposed to report it to the police.
Right.
Forget the AD, and I don't give a damn what chain of command there is at a university. You call the police immediately yourself. I am just blown away by the entire situation. It just shocks me. Sad, so sad.
All right, Pete's coming up in just a couple of moments. I got two last emails I want to share with you as our final thoughts of the day here. One comes from Dave, who says, John, I'm a fire captain in California. I got home at 7:30 a.m. Sunday morning after being gone for 3 days, was welcomed by my wife and 3 sons, 9 years old and under, preparing for game time. We weren't even getting the game televised. We listened on the NFL Droid app. I coach flag football. We play on Wednesday nights. My wife and I are preparing on Tuesday night. Please tell me our team captain is more focused on game day. He makes millions to make the sacrifices, at least on game day, to make sure he's successful on game day. This is in regard to the photo that we were just talking about that was on Barstool Sports. And then Tiff in Wisconsin says, I love Kat, but I have to disagree with her call earlier, point about Brady not on the sideline reviewing the photos. I've seen Brady on the sidelines looking at photos of past plays. To say he doesn't do that is patently false. He has a good work ethic. I personally believe his wife has too much of an influence on him. Didn't Brady once joke about her asking him to give up football? My super secret belief is that as long as Brady is married to Giselle, we won't win a Super Bowl. When she dated Leonardo DiCaprio, he never won the Oscar or any other prestigious award.
Oh boy.
She's bad luck.
You know,
I'm going to leave it right there with Tiff today.
Tiffany, yeah. You got to get a grip into some of the stuff.
I love it, though. It's good.
It is, but people get carried away with pictures and dancing and haircuts and mustaches and, handshakes.
Yes, I like it. I like it. Keep
Irrelevant,
it coming.
All of it.
Keep it coming. All right, tomorrow in the playbook, we got a ton to get to. In fact, Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential is coming in at 3:30. We'll also have Eric Allen from Jets.com on Thursday with Russell Baxter. We'll have Eric Scalavino in studio tomorrow in the opening hour. And we're going to turn our page once again. Seems like we've talked about this for a few weeks in a row now. But the JETS are staring straight right at us. Mm-hmm. It's like a couple of headlights coming right
Maybe
at you.
Maybe it's what this team needs.
Might very well be. Pete Shepard's coming up next. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel tomorrow.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.